9:35 is the time, the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Trust matters. Count on them. FourSeasonsGarages.com is where you can find out more. Blake Bishop, I'm Kevin Ingram. Jonathan Schaefer, our producer. Mark is out this week. We bring in from The Athletic, a guy who covers the Tennessee Titans, of course, John Glennon. John, what's going on?
Not too much, Kevin. How are you guys doing?
We're good. We're good. Yeah. As far as reopening the building, how do you expect the Titans to approach the process for the facility?
I think it's going to be a cautious process. You know, I think in general, NFL teams are allowed to start that build up of people back in the office, this week. But the Titans, I believe, are going to hold off at least another week or so. I don't think there's a huge rush to do it because still you're not looking at coaches and players being in the building at this point, aside from those players who are still doing rehab from injury, like a Jeffrey Simmons. I'm not sure you get a huge advantage by rushing to put employees back in the office at this point. I'm sure all of them have developed pretty good strategies working at home, for the last several weeks. So, maybe play things on the safer side and start that next week or a little bit down the line. Because, again, I think that obviously when it really becomes an issue is when you can get players and coaches back in the building. And that is, we don't have a timetable on that yet at all for any of the teams.
Yeah, I kind of take care of my next question. How do you expect that process to sort of work to, take that next step if everybody can get, some of the personnel back in the building? How far down the road is it before we see coaches and players back?
Yeah, let's say that is the key question, of course. And so many questions have to be answered in order for that to happen. You're talking obviously about, dozens and dozens of guys in a locker room setting and communal showers and cafeterias and things like that. Everything that goes against your thinking in terms of how not to spread germs, you have to overcome that. And I'm sure you guys have looked at too, how Major League Baseball is talking about the potential of, coming back and playing games. And then, they have a huge list, detailed list of things that they will and will not be able to do. And down to the point of, there's not going to be any chewing of sunflower seeds. There's not going to be able to be any spitting during games. And that's for baseball, which obviously is a pretty much a non-contact sport. So, when you talk about football and the increased numbers of players, coaches, et cetera, all in a communal setting, there's an awful lot of challenges still to be processed. But, certainly, a high level of testing, regular daily testing is going to be necessary to nip anything in the bud, hopefully, before it starts to spread. That's the next big step, and we don't have an exact timetable on that yet.
Our guest is John Glennon from The Athletic. He, of course, covers the Tennessee Titans.
Yes, JG, I wanted to touch on something that you kind of referenced, with the facility being open, now they have certain people who can be in there, naturally some of the guys that are injured, but you said Simmons was on there, so is this the typical after ACL, you then maybe get a scope to clean everything out, and then you start a little bit of a rehab, or is this something still from the actual, they just want to make sure he'll be up to speed when the season comes along at whatever point that is.
Yeah, for some reason, Blaine, you faded out right near the end. But, yeah, I think this is still, this is Jeffrey Simmons still rehabbing from that ACL in general. When he came back last year, obviously there was no off-season work for him. There was no real training camp work for him either. And he was probably playing about 70-80% of full strength there. So this is just a continuing process from that. The rehab that continued during the season, I don't think we saw the full Jeffrey Simmons yet. And that is, if you can find a tiny silver lining in any of this that's going on, at least the guys that are doing rehab are still permitted to do that kind of work. So Jeffrey Simmons has been a guy that has been working in the facility for a long time. And I think that's a huge plus, because so many guys make that jump from first year to second year. I'm sure the Titans are hoping for that from Jeffrey Simmons, and that's just going to benefit him so much, getting that work in a facility as opposed to, you know, trying to find your own gym, you know, trying to work with your own specialists, trainers, whatever. He's getting the best that the Titans can give him, and obviously he's going to be huge for the Titans coming up, not only expecting you know, him to do what he did last year, but more given the fact that Jarrell Casey is no longer around, and Simmons is going to have to step up that much more even next year.
Man, I was reading your article, JG, and man, it informed me a lot about the late draft pick from Marshall, the DB, Chris Jackson. I kind of go into a little bit of his background and you know what, you know, who he really is, because when I watched video of him via Google, I thought I saw something that could be better than a late round pick. But I guess take us through his story.
Yeah, I have to give props to my comrade Joe Rexroth. I was actually did a great story on Chris Jackson there, the Titans' final pick. And boy, you talk about some traumas that this guy has come and overcome in his life. It's really an incredible story. I'd say give it a read if you haven't yet. Chris Jackson is a guy who, you know, who lost his mom at an early age, and it was a violent situation and something that happened, you know, very close to him that he's obviously had to deal with ever since. You know, he's had a father you know, he hasn't been too much in contact with over the years, someone who's had some substance abuse issues. But boy, when you talk to Chris Jackson, you just get that overwhelming enthusiasm from him. You know, it's clear that this is a guy who, you know, despite all his very traumatic past, has real passion for playing football. And it's kind of my understanding too that, you know, this is a guy who maybe struggled a little bit in his first year or two of college, but, you know, he's got some good raw tools right now. He's got some real speed, a good special teams kind of player, I think, and some versatility, you know, in terms of whether he can play corner and safety. But I think what people are going to be impressed about, you know, when we start doing even more stories and people get to see this guy, it's just kind of the real passion he has for football. And, you know, seventh round picks are certainly no lock to make the team, but this is the kind of guy a lot of people are going to be pulling for, you know, I think he's going to have a real shot at making the team.
Our guest is John Glennon from The Athletic. John, one more before we let you go. As far as Logan Ryan's departure from the Titans, explain some of those underlying factors that went into that.
Yeah, I got such a good interview for that story from some guy named Blaine Bishop. I was waiting for that story to come up there, but thanks, Blaine. I appreciate your insight on that story. And yeah, I think in terms of Logan Ryan, you know, it comes down to sort of you're looking at traditional stats versus maybe a little bit more of the advanced stats that we don't all necessarily see as much of. And if you look at kind of the traditional stats, you see, boy, Logan Ryan had a career year in a number of different fields. Obviously, was a big contributor last year to the team, and you can see, okay, Logan Ryan wants a raise from his $10 million last year. But you can make an argument kind of based on those numbers in terms of, you know, everything, as they say, from tackles, sacks, pass breakups, forced fumbles. You know, then you also take a look at the other pool of stats as well. You know, I Pro Football Focus, I think, does a great job at really getting some detailed stats. You know, gave up the most receptions of any defensive back last year, most receiving yards, yards after catch. So there were certainly some high negative numbers that were also associated with Logan Ryan last year. And Blaine, I think, you know, as you said in the article too, you know, everybody loved Logan Ryan in terms of, you know, I think he was a tough, good, versatile player, you know, guy who gave the Titans a real mental edge out there. But there was sort of that Achilles heel too, and that was probably the speed that was starting to hurt him, especially that vertical speed from the slot that we're seeing more from teams now. So I think that the speed element, And some of those negative numbers, too, I think in the end, that's why the Titans said, you know, A, we can't, we're certainly not thinking about a raise, and B, I think you probably priced yourself out of our range for coming back here. And, you know, you have to look at the rest of the league, and nobody else has signed Logan Ryan right now either at what his terms are. So I think every team is kind of looking at all those stats pulled together and sort of taking a bigger picture at Logan Ryan.
John, thanks so much. Always great speaking with you. We appreciate it this morning.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right. From The Athletic, our friend John Glennon joining us and covering some Titan stories with us on this Tuesday morning. 9:45 the time, Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Coming up next, the latest on Pizzagate, a developing story. More of the Wake Up Zone after this. Hang around.